When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a late night edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Jovan Buha is with me because this is the first, by the way, of four Warriors Lakers games. The NBA wanted to save all their showcase games for later in the season. They got an ABC Saturday night on a non-NFL Saturday. And they got the game of the year probably in the league. It's why we're going to do a quick pod on it, because it was just too good of a game not to. 145-144, double overtime. Shot making everywhere, desperation, playoff feel, both teams, right? It's interesting. Like, these are the kind of like the definitely the two marquee stars of the league with Steph and LeBron, but also, you know, the two biggest rating draws in the league. Yet it was like the 9 seed against the 12 seed tonight. But you could feel like both teams really needed this win. The Lakers end up getting it, but kind of good theater.
Yeah, this game started off as a mid-off, and then it became a classic.
Yeah, a West Finals game
yeah.
Six.
I think first and foremost, like, LeBron and Steph doing what they did. Steph with 46. LeBron with 36 points, 20 rebounds, 12 assists. Oldest player in NBA history to do a 30-20. First Laker since Kareem to do 30-20 and 10. So, like, he had an incredible game. Steph had an incredible game. They were going shot for shot in the fourth quarter and overtime. And it was – yeah. I mean, almost, like, rooting for a third overtime. I was like, let's just keep this going.
Yeah, both of them basically hit game winners, where Steph hits the three at the top of the key where you think the game might be over with 5 seconds left. You know, he's down two. They go up one. And then LeBron wins it on two free throws with 1.2 seconds
left. Post-game subplot, the free throw disparity.
Yeah, Warriors were whining about that. You know, I think the inconsistencies Steph was grumbling about, Steve Kerr, I know one of the things they didn't like was Steph Curry played how many minutes? 43 and got three free throws. There were some moments he was wanting for and ones and stuff. You saw him kind of like, you know, going for it. I mean, overall, the Lakers have the largest free throw discrepancy in the league, yeah, positively, and the Warriors have the worst negatively. So, I mean, you kind of expect this in some ways. Warriors shot 58 threes. Steph shot 21 threes. Him and Klay shot a combined 38 threes. You're going in this game knowing the Lakers will shoot more free throws. It was wider than they would have hoped. There were some calls. You know, they had some foul outs, which I think really impacted them late, instead of suddenly Wiggins and
– Klay's foul out was a little
soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then suddenly – Brandon Pajemski's on LeBron with the game on the line. Like, that's where the Warriors really felt it was, you know, the foul outs. To me, that's not the story of the game. I mean, I think for the Warriors side, we can get to, but I don't know.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, to me, the negative is the fact that this is the seventh, like, heartbreaker this season, where second this week, you know, they fumbled away that final possession against the Kings the other night. So that's 2 1-point losses this week when they're at a moment in the season where it just feels like they just need to get wins somehow. They had the blown 18-point lead where Jokic hits the 40-foot bank in here for the win, which I'm sure you'll remember. That's one of the shots of the season. You have another loss to the Kings in Sacramento where they blew a 24-point lead. They had a 4-point lead in the final 30 seconds, had two horrible turnovers, and Malik Monk banks in a floater to win it. You had a Clippers game where you're up 22, lose that lead. Paul George hits a three with 8 seconds left. And then you have two Oklahoma City losses in overtime, both in overtime where you're up three in the final 10 seconds of both games. Chet Holmgren hits a corner three, which you might remember in this building, fadeaway over Wiggins to send it to overtime with 1 second left. And then in Oklahoma City, Draymond tries to do the foul up three and fouls Chet Holmgren while shooting instead of before the shot. Chet Holmgren has all three free throws go to overtime. That's seven should-be wins that have completely swung this team's record, where they're 19-24. You don't have to give them all seven and say they would be 26 and 17, which would, you know, vault them up into like the sixth spot. But if you give them four, then they're sitting here at 23-20. That's a lot different than 19-24 in this Western Conference. So that's the negative. Like, this team has just continually been punctured by these games. And I want to get to the positive after that. But, I mean, do you think that is like, I don't know, I guess that's the context of the season. But in a lot of ways, like, they're the ones screwing up these games. They're the ones giving back the leads. They're the ones, their veterans and their veteran coach are the ones making mistakes down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's tough. Like, if they win even just the game tonight and the Kings game, they're right there tied with the Lakers for ninth in the West. So, I mean, like, the margins right now in the West are ridiculous. Like, I think it's going to be one of probably the closest play-in race we've had, you know, so far. And every game really matters. So I think for them to not only lose, but to lose to this specific opponent who they're just a couple games behind, you know, that I think adds like an extra element to it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, look, you win this game tonight. You know, LeBron misses both free throws, or, you know, you just get a stop on the final possession. You're one back of the Lakers. You lose your three back. Now they play the Lakers three more times. That's not necessarily a very good matchup for them. They're road heavy to end the season. So, you know, in some ways you could consider them doomed this season, maybe. And then the Lakers might be in the same situation. But we should probably get to, in my opinion, there's something that is very optimistic about this night for the Warriors. And it is Draymond Green is back. This is his fourth game back. He played 46 minutes, you know. First two games back, he was at 23. They were like having him on a minutes restriction. He has blasted through that. So he's now starting. And it's very clear if you talk to Warriors people, like, he's now the starting center. He was the starting center for the first time tonight. Kevon Looney played 5 minutes. They were on minus 14 in Kevon Looney's 5 minutes tonight. But Draymond Green was plus 31 tonight in a 1-point loss, which means in his 12 minutes on the bench, they were a minus 32. So that is very bad, but the thing that is positive for them is they have their second best player back. He looks really good, and they're about to play him a ton at center. And that gives them an identity that they haven't had this season. And I think they're just a more dangerous team now because he looks great, and they're going to commit to him at center.
I thought he was incredible tonight. I thought his defense against Anthony Davis held him to 11 of 24 shooting. AD's been on a tear. Really, the past like month and a half, he's been far and away the Lakers' best player. And Draymond blocked him a couple times, blocked him on a three, blocked him on another jumper. And I thought, you know, the Lakers pretty much went away from that matchup, and it became, you know, trying to LeBron hunting guys in the pick and roll, or you know, D'Lo pull up threes in transition and stuff like that. But like, they were trying to stay away from Draymond with AD, which is not something that, you know, you see from the Lakers often. So I think his defense tonight was incredible. Obviously, the plus minus reflects that. And I think Steph was great too. So like, you saw, I thought, some flashes of what this team could be as they start to get that continuity back. The rookie Trayce Jackson-Davis had like a few good minutes in the fourth quarter when he came back.
So that's the other thing that's tilting. Like, Kevon Looney's just been ineffective lately, and he went to Looney in the first half 5 minutes, as I mentioned. They're minus 14. He gives Trayce Jackson-Davis those minutes in the second half, and like, yeah, like, you know, it's an and-one layup. It was a transition hit ahead from Draymond. There was a little bit of rim protection, which you're never seeing with this Warriors team. He had a steal, and it's just, you know, Kevon Looney's on this like consecutive games played streak that is second in the NBA behind Mikal Bridges. I think there's some pride to it, you know, especially early in his career. He was so injury prone. He's played now basically three full seasons straight without missing a game. And if you get a DNP, that streak's over. So like, I don't know if there's some pride to that, but like, to be honest, there might be some DNPs coming up. And I'm not saying it doesn't necessarily have to be Tuesday. If Joel Embiid plays in here, you might need some Looney. But it seems like
we'll see if Joel Embiid plays.
Yeah, that's Nikola Jokic ain't here, so this ain't game ain't in Denver, I don't think. But yeah, the other thing that I mean, Draymond being at center apparently makes Kuminga and Wiggins playable together, which they weren't. And so that's now the starting lineup: Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond. And again, I've mentioned this on a few podcasts, and Nate Duncan has been really beating this drum for a while. But like, if this team is going to make any noise, that five-man unit needs to be their death lineup. You know, they've always had this like go-to five-man lineup. They have not had it all season. This has to be it. It's their two big 6'8" wings, Draymond at center, and the Splash Brothers. And they just tonight they went to it.
Yeah, and I think defensively you saw they could switch matchups like late in the second overtime. They went to Draymond on LeBron and Kuminga on AD. So you have a lot of versatility and switchability there where, you know, Clay was guarding LeBron at times as well. So like really 2 through 5, you can switch, you know, across those four positions. And Steph's the one guy, obviously, you're probably not switching with. But I think there's a clear identity there. Clay finally got going in that second half.
His first half.
That was bad. I was texting you about that.
Yeah, it was one of his worst halves of the season, and there's been some candidates, but it was up there.
Yeah, so, I think, like, I don't think this is obviously not a group that, like, needs moral victories because they have a certain standard, but to me, they probably should have won this game, which I don't know if that makes it even worse, but, like, there were some pretty, like, I thought there were some pretty good elements to it where if they could sustain that moving forward, like, this is a team that could get back into the play-in mix. And once you're in that, like, 8, 9, 10, you have a shot to make the playoffs and go from there.
The numbers are insane. And I put some of them in my post-game article, so I'm not going to rattle through all of them. But, I mean, the reality is, like, Kuminga and Wiggins, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how close you were tracking it, but they become such a problem as a pairing that Steve Kerr like basically deemed them unplayable together. And it's created a lot of the friction of like, remember when Kuminga's not playing and you know, generating some issues. It's because like Wiggins is playing ahead of him and he won't put the two together. And a lot of that is because what the numbers were telling them, which was it was something like minus 106 in 177 minutes with that two-man combination all the way up until January 14th. And I use January 14th because Draymond Green's indefinite suspension, well, it was lifted before that, but he comes back to the lineup the 15th. And in the four games since, Kuminga and Wiggins, who, like I said, were, like, absurdly bad together, minus 10-something, with Draymond are plus 66 over the last four games together. So like, they're
a huge swing.
It's just, he has made them playable together. And not only is that important in the moment, like, part of the – what you're looking at the trade deadline coming up was like, you might have to choose one of the two. If you can't play Kuminga and Wiggins together, you're going to have to potentially trade one. And, you know, I think Wiggins is still a trade candidate, but there's also a thought that, you know, if this five can be your five, like maybe they don't trade them. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing, like, they could probably use another big, which I know has kind of always been a thing for them.
For sure, and I think they might be in that market, but like you saw the rookie tonight, there are some people in the front office that are like, let's see how good these young guys are, you know what I mean? Like, let's see how good Trayce Jackson-Davis is, and you know, this season might not end in a title, regardless of what you do. You know, there's not a catch-all move, so see what Trayce Jackson-Davis can be. But sorry, what you were saying.
Yeah, no, and then the other thing, I think one criticism I had was I felt their offense got a little too one-dimensional late, and it became a little bit too much Steph hero ball.
Oh, you mean he's 35 shots tonight?
And, of course, he's great enough that he nearly pulled off the win.
You're correct.
Basically by himself. But it felt like, I mean, every play was being ran for Steph, and at some point I felt like they could have countered with a decoy. And they did that at various points earlier in the game, but it just basically became in the two overtimes – it's Steph or nothing. And again, he nearly beat the Lakers, you know, with them kind of all keying in on him, but it felt like they could have done a little bit more to get other guys involved.
Yeah, I mean, Kuminga had been great lately. And, you know, he does finish with 22, which I'm surprised he got up to 20. So that's now six straight games he's been over 20. But you didn't feel him as much as you'd felt him lately. And some of that, I think, is just the Lakers, their rim protection, their bigger wings. Like, it was tougher for him to get downhill. But, like, it's – and that's what I think they're going to need to try to learn over the next couple months is, like, what can Kuminga be? Because this should have been a night, and into the future probably needs to be a night where he gets featured a little bit more. It felt like when the game got frantic the last couple quarters in the overtimes, like, he was playing kind of hot potato with it. Whereas the last few games, like, they've been, like, mid-post ISOing him and, like, going to him a bit more. He felt just out of the flow a little bit, I thought.
Yeah, no, and you know, I think Wiggins had his moments too, where I know he's been struggling this season, but you know, there's nothing like the Lakers starting perimeter group to get a struggling wing player going, and I think you saw that on multiple fronts tonight.
Well, they were really like, because it was Russell on him a lot, yeah. And they were just like, go, you know, they were goading him into it. And that's been them all season. They've had to. Let's just quick, like, Lakers Warriors, like, to me, they're in kind of the same boat. Lakers are in a little bit sturdier position, mostly just because, look, they're five wins up. And I often look at loss column, and that yeah. Warriors are only one back in the loss column. Now they haven't played nearly as many games, but it feels like it might come, like, these two play each other three more times. They might face in the play-in game. Like, I feel like it's destined for, like, a sparkly matchup. Ooh. The league's like, can maybe the 7-8 so they can both maybe still get in the playoffs. It's not an elimination game. But whose future this season do you like the most?
I'd say the Lakers.
I agree. I
think they still have another move they can make at the trade deadline. You know, they're looking at different things, and if they can bring in another significant contributor.
I know DeJounte Murray's the guy you've reported on. That, to me, is the move. If it's not there, I'm not sure they have something that would move the needle much, but that would move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a way they could get, like, Dorian Finney-Smith and replace Torian Prince in the starting lineup with him, I think
– Darvin Ham would never.
Well – That's a whole other thing. Or Bruce Brown. Like, there's
Bruce
a few,
Brown. Yeah, Bruce Brown.
There's
Bruce
a few guys that I think could improve the roster and
not, you know, cost that much.
Not cost that much, but DeJounte is going to cost a lot. That is sort of the price that Atlanta is asking for. But I think for them, like, LeBron and AD have been, I would say, you know, top 10 guys, if not borderline, like top 12 right there. And really it's been a combination of injuries with the supporting cast, inconsistent play with the supporting cast, and Darvin Ham continually tweaking the lineups and the rotations game to game. And that's gotten stabilized more over the past couple weeks. But even now, this lineup of the last season starting lineup with AD, LeBron, Jared Vanderbilt, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell had played 11 minutes entering tonight. They were plus 9 in 11 minutes. Tonight they played 19 minutes, almost double that, and were plus 14. And to me, I mean, that was the group that won them the game. They had that run to end the first half. They came back together in the third quarter. Then AD goes down, but they kind of are still hanging around. And then obviously they close with that group. So to me, that should be the starting lineup. That should also be the closing lineup. I think it's just the best blend of offense and defense. Vando allows, you know, Reeves and Russell to kind of
plus 30 for Vando.
Not have to do as much defensively. And yeah, he's been great the last couple of weeks. So we'll see if the Lakers make that lineup change. But then again, with the trade deadline looming, I think there's going to be some natural changes that occur just because of that. So I would say the Lakers, but I mean, both teams to me are first flawed. Round and out.
Well, yeah, they're flawed, for sure. But also, like, I feel like both of their styles and their just who they are is, like, more conducive to the playoffs, particularly the Lakers, just the physical brand. And, like,
they bash you inside, they get to the free throw line.
And like, just, I don't think the Minnesota Timberwolves want to see the Lakers or even the Warriors coming out of that area. But to me, the difference is the second best player on the roster, where like Steph is Steph, LeBron and AD, whoever you want to put one or two. Number two is more reliable and better, just simply better at this point than the Warriors' massive issues at number two all season, which is Draymond's lack of availability, if you want to consider him a two. Klay's, you know, inconsistencies at this stage of his career. Wiggins' disappearing act for large chunks of the season. Like, you know, that's the Warriors in a lot of ways have been kind of deep. They like a lot of their young guys are rising, you know, even Moody when he gets back, Payton if he returns, you know, Chris Paul maybe re-enters the mix.
Completely forgot about Chris
Paul. Yeah. But you know, they compared to the Lakers, they just don't have the steady prime, and especially LeBron still looks like he's in his prime. Anthony Davis is in his prime. Warriors don't have that as a number two option. So that's the difference, I think.
Yeah, to me, it goes back to the playoff series of just the size disparity between these two teams. Like the Lakers, some of their recent wins have come. I mean, they've beaten the Thunder, the Mavericks, the Clippers, and it's really just been bully ball, smash mouth basketball. Like if you don't have a front court that can match up with them, they are going to just chip away at you. Klay fouled out, but like how many Warriors had? Looking at it quickly, you had the entire starting lineup had at least four fouls, and part of that was double overtime. But like,
no, they were going into overtime with all like five and you know 5-4. Yeah, I mean it ended up that bit up late. Yeah. You know, when suddenly it was Pajemski, Corey Joseph, Dario Saric on the floor late. So I don't know. These teams play three more times. Like to me, the Warriors now it seems very obvious, but they're just going to be so damn reliant on Draymond the rest of the season, and because what you're saying is correct, but Draymond is the guy that is supposed to be able to be like, yeah, we're small, but like I'll hold up. And being reliant on Draymond is who this team is, but it's also a scarier and scarier proposition because you're watching the game tonight. There's a couple times he's in it with the refs or he's bumping into Vanderbilt or he had the foul where he kind of like nailed Davis late and, you know, he's kind of mocking Vanderbilt as he's trying to ask for the review. But it's like, you always at this point feel one thing away from like Draymond disappearing again. And it's a weird state of being where it's like they need this, the ferocity and everything he was tonight, but you're also like, whoa, you know,
you saw the strutting coming out and like just
and that's dangerous for them now. Cause they are one incident away from like his season being over.
Yeah. Probably. So, I mean, that's another factor that I would give the Lakers.
Yeah.
Although look, like LeBron and AD have been pretty healthy up to this point. And like that's the thing. If you're the Lakers right now is the fact that you're one game above 500 too, with both those guys basically being available when each of the last three seasons, they've each had a significant injury that's caused them to miss at least 20 games. So the odds of both staying healthy the rest of the way, I think are pretty slim, honestly.
The ninth seed and the 11th seed will continue to chronicle this unbelievable
the two biggest tale. Underachieving probably, right? Like, I think most people had both in the top six entering the season.
The Hawks, like, I don't know who else would be.
But they were still probably like a 6-8 seed.
Yeah, this is probably two. Well, at least they get to face each other a bunch more. Maybe we'll get more overtime games. All right, we will talk to you down the line.